And now, come on down.
Fella's been saying I've been long a nose. I'm also long a gong, fella. Long a gong makes sense.
The native said, we don't have any hamburger in the jungle, so don't send us any more hamburger helper. What we need is blank burger helper.
I got it.
One of these stars is sitting in the secret square, and the contestant who picks it first could win a prize package worth over $2,000. Which star is it?
It's tough to flip on the TV right now without finding game shows, be it reboots like Match Game, newbies like Beat Shazam, or long-timers like The Price is Right. But does quantity equal quality? Are we, in fact, in the midst of a golden age of game shows? To find out, we've called on Bob Thompson. He's professor of television and popular culture at Syracuse University. And Bob, in your mind, is there a golden age of game shows? And if so, are we in it now?
Well, I suppose if I were to point to a single golden age of game shows, I think I would probably point to the mid-1950s, where we had lots and lots of game shows, and they were getting huge ratings. The $64,000 question knocked I Love Lucy out of first place in the ratings. We had 21, $64,000 question, Tic-Tac-Doe. Of course, that all came to a screeching halt with the breaking of the news, the quiz show scandals. But just to give you a sense, people are tempted to say that we're in the golden age of game shows now because there's a whole bunch of game shows on ABC and Fox and all the rest of it. But Charles Van Doren, who was one of the contestants on 21, became such a big celebrity that he was offered and got a job at the Today Show. He made the cover of Time magazine. This was a time when somebody who had made it in a game show could reach sort of the heights of the culture. Then, of course, the quiz show scandal happened, and game shows kind of disappeared from prime time. And then we had the next golden age, and maybe golden depends on how old you were and who you were and how old, when these things were on. I grew up in the 60s and 1970s, and I have incredibly fond memories of Password and the later versions of Truth or Consequences and What's My Line. And then, of course, the 70s, where game shows became some of the sexiest, sort of most risque things on television. The Match Game, which was more a cocktail party than it was a game show. The Gong Show, which seemed to be being beamed straight from Neptune. And that's the period that we seem to be, in many ways, nostalgically repackaging. Celebrity Family Feud, $100,000 Pyramid, The Gong Show is back, Battle of Network Stars back, Match Game is back.
Well, when you talk about the reboot of some of those game shows that you just mentioned, I'm wondering how much you think of that is being done because of nostalgia for the past, and how much of it is because these are reasonably inexpensive shows to produce that you can put on during the summer when there are theoretically fewer viewers.
Right, and also, I mean, I think both those things are true, and also, and maybe even most importantly, these things worked in the past, some of them for many, many years, and the idea is that, yes, if we put on the Gong Show again, or if we put on the Match Game again, the hope is that we're going to get that audience that has nostalgic memory of that. It's got a brand name. People know what it is. They'll come to it. But the hope is also that a lot of other people will come to it as well. And as you point out, it's also very important that these are cheap to make. Compared to a scripted television program, they are so much less expensive.
I'm wondering how TV executives and maybe how viewers also look at game shows now, given the popularity of other reality TV, which by and large was not there in either of the previous golden ages of game shows.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, I suppose you could argue that, and it depends on how you define reality TV, but reality TV as we know it now doesn't really get its start, I don't think, until 1992 with The Real World. And then it hits network television in this country in a big way in 2000 with the likes of Survivor and Big Brother. And you're right. what those reality TV shows did was to take the idea of the kind of documentary of following people around and to add the competition thing to it. So the question would be, how do regular old school game shows like Pyramid and Family Feud and all the rest of it survive now when there's all this other stuff going on? And I think that all depends on who you get to host it. That's really, really important. And the contestants.
Well, some game shows have sort of average people, although average might be up for debate in some of these instances. And some have celebrities as the contestants or playing more prominent roles. Is one seen as more or less desirable, either on the perspective of viewers or TV execs?
Well, I think both celebrities on game shows and quote-unquote regular people on game shows both have their advantages. People, of course, like to see celebrities, and game shows allow them to see those celebrities in contexts that seem maybe a little less mediated than what we now see as the overly prepared talk show, or certainly more so than when they're reading scripted lines in their sitcoms or movies. But the real people aspect, too, is one of the things that people are attracted to, because it is interesting to see regular people who aren't celebrities who get these opportunities to suddenly become a millionaire or an American Idol or whatever. So a lot of these programs will, in fact, blend the two. The Gong Show is a great example of that, for example, where you've got celebrities acting as the judges, but then you've got the non-celebrities, the regular people, who are the contestants. Hollywood Squares was that way.
Do you have any reason to believe that TV networks will not continue to put game shows on, either new ones or reboots, in coming years, especially maybe during the summers?
No, I think they're always... Now, this kind of thing, like anything else, goes in biorhythms. We've got a lot of them on the air now. And that kind of thing can, like the tides, can go in and come out again. But I think some form of the game show has really been around. Forget the history of television. It's been around since the history of radio. If you go through the history of television, there are peaks and there are valleys, but the game show never goes away for very long. And I think that's going to continue to be part of the entertainment regimen, probably for as long as we have entertainment.
Bob Thompson is a professor of television and popular culture at Syracuse University. Bob, thanks a lot for your time.
My pleasure. Look forward to our next conversation.